Good afternoon, Jai. Welcome back. Week three of our technology podcast. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks. Yeah, got the Christmas jumper on now.
Nice.
About time of year.
So I can't get my Christmas jumper on, but I've got about four layers on because our loft is freezing. So I feel a little bit like the Michelin man. Rolls coming out everywhere.
It's not just lockdown weight.
No. It's not even pre-Christmas weight. Although, yeah, you'd never be able to tell, to be honest. It could be both. Okay, week three. What are we looking at this week, Jai?
We're going to go into the subject of social media. I think you're going to, this is the title, Ben, The Social Media Shark Tank. Sounds fascinating.
Well, I think it's just sometimes it can feel that way. How do we use social media? What is it good for? And what are the dangers? I think that's the rough idea. And just acknowledging that there are dangers for us as Christians in social media as well as benefits. So, yeah, the social media shark tank. Should we crack on? Social media?
So we'll start with a few stats. Everyone loves a good stat. So in terms of worldwide usage of social media, so the stat we've got here is 3.96 billion total number of active social media users in the world. And you don't need to be that good at maths to know that that is a huge proportion. Over 50% of the world's population is on social media. And it, kind of even more staggering, really, is the annual growth in the number of social media users. So about 10.5% per year. That is that's a huge number, isn't it? Getting on for 500 million people extra every year use social media. In terms of smartphones, we were talking about smartphones last week. 99% of social media users access through their smartphone. Which is kind of not surprising, but it is a big number. What about the actual platforms then? Who's using what on social media? Facebook is the number one, no surprise there. Followed by YouTube and WhatsApp. Not sure how much I would classify them as social media, if I'm honest. But WeChat is up there, which I think is not really a thing over here, but in other parts of the world it is. And then Instagram, I think we'll put the stats up and you can have a look at those. What social media are you on, Ben?
So I'm on Facebook and Twitter mostly. I think I am technically on Instagram, but very, very infrequently look at it. I think when we had Jenny, I was like, oh, yeah, I'll get Instagram and, you know, put pictures of Jenny up. But I've clearly got bored of my children, so I don't use it very much at all.
Well, I'm How sure about you? Have, then other people have too. So. similar. So, yeah, Facebook is the main one. I have a Twitter account. Mostly I keep that for kind of complaining at companies. When I'm not happy with them. I'm technically on Instagram. Don't really use it. And then there's a kind of more like neighborhood one called Nextdoor that I use from time to time.
Cool. And why those of the ones that we use? Facebook, I mean, like we just said, 2.6 billion people on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook pretty much. I think I started using that when I was in uni back in 2006, maybe. First year of uni, I think. Seems like everybody's on Facebook. That's the best way of connecting with people. And Twitter, I find, is great for learning what other people are thinking following trends and, you know, articles and that sort of stuff. Find Twitter really, really fascinating.
I think it's the same for me with Facebook. It's just, people are on there. It's good for keeping in touch with sort of extended family back in Hull, you know, uni mates and that sort of thing. And kind of keeping up to date with what's happening in the local area. Next story is probably like an extension of that. Yeah, I think I talked about it last week. Twitter was fascinating, but probably too fascinating. it was difficult to get off there once I was on. So,
And when we talk about social media, there are, I guess, different types of social media. So the ones we just mentioned, Facebook, Twitter, are social. I think they described as social networks. That's the name of the film, isn't it? About Facebook, the social network. So, which is connecting primarily, it's about connecting with people and occasionally companies, like you just said, complaining to companies. And then you've got the more media sort of dominated social networks, so media sharing networks. So think of Snapchat, Instagram. I think YouTube technically comes under that as well, although I don't really see that. I don't feel as though I use that as a social media, but I think there's a whole online people follow, you know, people on YouTube and interact and
I suppose there's a whole comment section, isn't there? So people probably build communities there.
So social media, obviously huge, so many people using it, a lot of people in the UK using it, and the question is how do we as Christians navigate social media? How do we use it well? And I think we've got with some headings, and the first one is this, is that as Christians, we are to be different. There should be something distinctive about us as Christians in how we use social media. I think the Bible just lays that out really clearly, that Christians are to be different. So think of what Jesus prays in John 17. He's praying for his disciples. My prayer is not to the Father. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. I have sent them into the world. So we are to be in this world, but that we are to be distinct. Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Or Philippians 2, verse 14, do everything without grumbling or complaining so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. I think all those verses are bringing out that big idea that Christians are to be different. And that should be as true on social media as it is in any other area of life. There should be something distinctly Christian about how we are on social media. Can you think of any ways that might look like, Jai?
I was thinking there just of the word salt and light, kind of being, you know, I think often on social media we can it can seem like a place where people are kind of arguing, or you know, the popular sort of media view of it is about kind of division and tension and stuff, isn't it? So you know, if we can be kind of peacemakers on social media, that's kind of an immediate sort of application of that springs to mind.
And I guess it's an old process, isn't it? It's you know, why we're on social media. We should be that's probably going to be different for Christians, and deliberate by Christians, and what we do when we're on social media. And when we come off social media, all those things, and all of these things, the Christians should be thinking differently, and our actions should be distinct. So we're to be different. We're also to be witnesses. What is our primary role as God's people, as believers in this world? And the Bible answers that in lots of different ways. But the one big idea is that we are to point to, not to ourselves, but to Jesus. So 2 Corinthians 5 says, calls us to be ambassadors. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And that whole section of 2 Corinthians is about reconciliation, how we have been reconciled to God through the message of reconciliation. And now we're to go out with the message as Christ's ambassadors. and the idea of ambassadors, people who represent the, you know, I guess the country. You know, so if you're the British ambassador to you know, Bosnia, you know, you're going to live in Bosnia, but you're representing Britain, you know, to the people of Bosnia, in the same way we are to be representing Christ in this world. And so we're to be, yeah, witnesses. That's what Jesus says to the apostles, isn't it? Start of Acts. They're to be, Jesus says that you are to be my witnesses. Yeah, and that's it's a massive challenge, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I think, wow, I don't feel as though I'm a very good ambassador for Jesus. I'll give you a chance to fill that. Maybe you do, Jai. Maybe you think you're an amazing ambassador.
No, not at all. No, I think, that was the first thing that came to mind. Like, yeah, how good of an ambassador am I? But I think the other thing that came to mind is how, like, exciting that is to be called to that. You know, the fact that we're not an ambassador in our own strength, are we? By being reconciled to God, we're new creations who are able to do that imperfectly, but we are able to do that in God's strength with his enabling.
Yeah, it's just, I know, it feels like the whole picking teams on the playground thing. You think if God's picking a team for, you know, to win, he'd never pick us, and yet that's what he's done. That's what he chooses to do. It just shows that, you know, when God does win, it's because of him, not because of us. That's what our weakness shows, doesn't it? But it's a privilege, isn't it? That's, we are called to show off Jesus. So part of how we do that is through social media. Be witnesses. Internet's got a bit dodgy. Oh, still there.
Yeah,
I think my internet's a little bit technology podcast and my internet's failing. Excellent. okay, so be different, be witnesses, and then be all in. Thinking of what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Speaking to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And I think that's a challenge to us, that being God's ambassadors doesn't just mean shouting out the message, you know, standing on the street corner and just shouting very loudly, you know, Jesus loves you. But actually what Paul models to us is that's the sharing of all our lives, you know, our very selves, not just the message. People need to see us. And again, as we think about social media, it's important that we're not just shouting at people, but we're actually sharing with people. I don't know, maybe we'd just encapsulate that in terms of loving people. And letting people see our lives, not just our statement of faith.
Yeah. I mean, I guess our lives are our real statement of faith, aren't they, to the world?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's the
evidence people will take from us.
Yeah. Sorry,
go on.
It's no. Sorry, internet connection. I'm like slight delay. So, yeah, if that's the positive, this is the call to be in our lives, sharing Christ, being witnesses, being different. When it comes to thinking about social media, let's ask the question, why else might we be using social media? What else might be going on there? Have you seen the Pixar film Inside Out?
I have, not recently.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think I've only seen it once. But in that, the the sort of the whole concept of it is that there's a little girl, Riley, the main character, and you're sort of seeing her life, but you're actually seeing inside her head, and how she's being driven by her emotions. So there, I think there are five emotions, joy and anger and sadness and a couple of others. And they, you're watching how they interact with each other and how they drive how she responds to various situations. And I think it's just it's a great picture for us to think about our hearts, what's driving us as we come to social media. And that can play out in different ways. And what we've got is a few characters or caricatures, maybe, of how we could be using social media. And these are not designed to condemn anybody, but they're aimed to get us to think about how whether we're being discerning and deliberate in our social media use. You know, are we quite passive? I certainly can be, you know, just... And you know, we've talked about this with phones. You know, you pick up your phone and you just click of a button, you know, press the screen once and you're on social media and you've not engaged with why you're doing that, what you're hoping for. It's just, you know, we've talked about that dopamine hit. And so this won't be all of us, but maybe some of these will hit home for us. So Jai, why don't you introduce our first character?
Yep, our first character is FOMO Fred. FOMO being an acronym for fear of missing out. So Fred is on social media because all of his friends are, and he wants to fit in. He doesn't want to miss what's going on. He wants to have the latest gossip, be invited to the latest events, and you know what's happening.
Yeah, and that's natural, isn't it? We want to fit in. Nobody, you know, you don't want to be the person in your social group or in your work group who isn't on that social media, and therefore you feel as though you're missing out. I think that's a natural. We want to be involved. We want to be included. We're made for community. But we can just absolutely just be on social media so that we are not missing out. And that doesn't take very much thought to do at all. Okay, second one. Let's think about distracted Diane. And we talked a little bit about this last week, didn't we? The how smartphones can provide a distraction from real life, real thinking. Diane is on social media because of the endless list and of opinions and news and updates. It keeps her distracted from things that are harder. It's an escape from real life issues. There's a quote from the book we mentioned, Tony Reinke's 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. He's talking about distractions. He says, true distractions include anything, even good things, that veil our spiritual eyes from the shortness of time and from the urgency of the season of heightened expectation as we await the summing up of all history. And that's quite a sentence.
Cosmic way of putting it.
Yeah. I guess in short, that's sometimes it's easy to be distracted by small things because we don't want to think about big things. And so just being on. And again, that's just so easy to do, isn't it? And especially in the area of smartphones. So that's distracted Diane. Who we got next?
So next is Needy Ned. So he's on Instagram, he's on Snapchat. He wants to get that buzz that you get from people liking and replying and commenting and sharing your stuff. You know, it's a way of us feeling valued and important. So he's kind of throwing plenty of stuff out there to try and get those likes, to get that sort of self-esteem, that building up. That he needs.
Yeah.
We've got another quote from Reinke here. Being born into this screen-dominated age, we are taught to mold ourselves in order to gain the most social validation, likes, views, and followers across social media. That just makes me think how much, like, we're kind of slaves to the to those numbers, right? Like they mean something to us. It's sort of a very quantitative sort of approach. They give us a value, like a number. That number of likes is almost our value in the world.
We're so driven by wanting to be affirmed, don't we? We want to be, you know, what's the song? You know, I just want somebody to love, or you know, more accurately, I just want somebody to love me. And you know, social media can absolutely hit that. Just affirm me, tell me I'm good, show me, just hit that like button, you know, so that I feel as though I'm important and valued. And you know, it's again, it's not a bad thing to be valued and loved, not at all. But trying to get that through social media, that's pretty thankless, because you know, you read about people who just become so addicted to that, the likes, and that means that they've got to post all the time. And it's just exhausting, and it pales in comparison to the, you know, the affirmation that we get in the gospel. You know, Ephesians 1 language, that you know, we are, before the creation of the world, we are chosen in Christ, that God has loved us before we ever, you know, physically existed. God has set his love upon us in Christ. That's far better affirmation. And the affirmation that, you know, we will still be loved even when we mess up. And that God knows all of our faults and knows all of our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins, and yet loves us. And more than that, has dealt with that sin. That's true affirmation. And it's when we're truly known, if God knows all of us, whereas in social media, it's just a one part of us that we've maybe, you know, sort of... what's the word? Manicured. I'm not sure that is the right word. But, you know, we've sort of we can edit part of ourselves to get those likes. Just talk to us a little bit here, Jai, about social media being an echo chamber. What do we mean by that phrase?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I guess what happens in an echo chamber is that you shout something and what you've shouted just comes right back at you. Yeah. So, when we're talking about social media, what we mean is that, you're going to keep hearing the same things that you sort of shout, if that makes sense. And that can happen in a couple of ways, can't it? It can be that you start to hide the people whose opinions you don't like, who you disagree with. Just hide them completely from your wall. It means you never have to see them. But it can also be more of an automated thing. So there are algorithms, as you know, that word algorithm is a kind of big one, a popular one, isn't it? But all the social media companies use an algorithm that will make sure that you keep seeing the things that you are most likely to interact with, and the things that you like and share and comment on. Are going to be the things that get shown to you. So that means that, you know, after a few years, Facebook will realize that you like seeing this particular point of view and you don't like seeing this particular point of view. So it will show you more of the one that you like. And it kind of has that sort of filtering, that echo chamber effect.
Yeah. I'm forever getting videos on my Facebook feed from The Big Bang Theory. I must have watched a video of The Big Bang Theory on Facebook at some point, and now it thinks that I love The Big Bang Theory. Which, you know, is all fine. You can sort of see it from their point of view. I guess they're, you know, from a Facebook's point of view, they're trying to keep people happy and engaged, and therefore they're trying to, you know, point you towards the things that they think makes you the happiest and the most engaged. So you keep using Facebook.
Exactly. I mean, all of these social media platforms are free, right? In the sense that we don't pay for them with our money. And that's because we, like, you know, someone has said that we are the product. Facebook is selling us to the advertisers. And that's a kind of slightly cynical point of view, but it is true. they want to keep us on the platform so that we see the advertising, so that they get the advertising revenue, and that is the business model. Not saying that's absolutely a bad thing, but it's something we need to be aware of.
And that can provide, you know, for we're talking about Needy Ned, you know, as he comes onto Facebook, you know, it means that he's likely to see things that, you know, he likes, but it also means that people are likely to see him who are going to affirm him, and it can provide a real false impression that basically only the people who agree with you are going to see what you're saying, and they're going to keep saying, "Yeah, you're great, you're wonderful." And it's a really incomplete picture, a bit of a false reality. Mm-hmm. Okay, fourth character / caricature, voyeuristic Vince. I wasn't particularly happy with the name, but I couldn't think of a better one.
Consumerist Colin.
That would have been better, yeah. But this is the person who uses social media, and all they're doing is looking at other people and watching other people, and consuming what other people are putting out, and actually giving nothing of themselves. Certainly this one came to mind for me, because I can definitely be the person who sits back, judges everybody else for what they've put on Facebook, but puts nothing on myself. And it's all just taken in, and not giving of myself, not taking the risk that I would put something out there that people don't like or disagree with. And sometimes I guess there can be wisdom in not sharing, you know, every opinion. But sometimes we can just be, you know, consumers and not producing, not creating anything, not giving anything.
We talked about the whole creation mandate, didn't we, from Genesis, and God calls us to be creators, to be fruitful, and you know, work the ground and to make things.
Yeah, and it's hard to argue for, you know, effective witness if you aren't given anything. You know, what are you really, you know, contributing? What are you really witnessing to? Nothing. This Christian's got nothing to say, nothing to add, nothing to contribute. That might be my witness on Facebook. Okay. So, having given those four caricatures, I think it's good to just, I guess, maybe take a slight diversion and ask this question. How Christian should my social media post be? What do you think, Jai? What's your initial response to that? Do you want to put a percentage on it?
Yeah, I think, you know, as long as it's more than 50%, then you're all right. No, I think, well, why don't we look at the two extremes and see where there might be a balance. So let's carry on with this sort of caricature idea. So Zealous Zoe is our next one, who kind of just posts Christian stuff all the time. She might be sharing, you know, events from her church, a psalm with a colourful background every day, that kind of thing, petitions and stuff, yeah. So I guess she's kind of just picking out one aspect of her life and kind of not really being authentic. She's not showing the kind of different sides of her life. And there can be a sort of weird pride about that, right? You've kind of put in here Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus talks about not practicing our righteousness in front of others in order to be seen by them. So So we might diagnose Zoe by kind of saying, yeah, what she's looking for is for people to see that she is a kind of holy person, because she posts all this Christian stuff on social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, maybe there are people out there who are much more spiritual than I am, you know, and that is, you know, that all they're thinking is spiritual thoughts. But I would guess for most of us, you know, if that's all we put on Facebook, that would be a little bit inauthentic in terms of, you know, actually what we're thinking about and, you know, what we're enjoying and what we're struggling with. So we could, yeah, definitely provide a bit of a false mask to who we are. I guess the opposite end of the scale is Christless Chris, who puts nothing about his faith at all on his social media. Jesus is completely absent. I imagine Christless Chris, you know, probably talks about sport all the time. You know, his love of Sheffield Wednesday, his hatred of Sheffield United. You know, tweets about that every day. But Jesus is not there at all. Tony Reinke in his book has got he points us to John chapter 12, one of the reasons that people don't engage with Jesus and don't share Jesus. And let me read this, John 12, 42 and 43. It said, many even of the authorities believed in him, in Jesus, but for the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Reinke says, why was it so hard for them to celebrate Christ? Simple. Public approval forbade it. If you follow Christ, the world will unfollow you. That is pretty, it's pretty cutting stuff. But that's certainly a danger for us, you know. There's a reason that Paul says in Romans 1, you know, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because there's very much a temptation to be ashamed. You know, and I would guess most of us feel that sometimes, thinking, oh, do I want to share that? What will people think of me, you know, if I invite them to watch this video from church, or if I put on this Bible verse that's, you know, what will he think? What will she think? What will they say? Yeah, so there's very, I think there's for some of us, maybe for all of us, there's a temptation to take Jesus out of our social media. And that, I guess, it plays into the broader thing, doesn't it? That social media is a place where we can edit who we are. Facebook has an edit button in a way that real life does not. We can, it's got me thinking of the Zoom calls. You know, so many of us have been doing Zoom calls these last nine months. And you can appear on a Zoom call looking very smart, you know, have a shirt on, a tie on. But because Zoom only sees the top half, the camera only sees the top half, underneath you can have, you know, your pajama bottoms on and your slippers. And social media allows us to do that, doesn't it? It allows us to edit what people see. I guess both of those, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you know, that's it is true in real life as well, isn't it? But the social media kind of ramps it up to another level. In allowing us to to edit who we want to present ourselves as.
Yeah, and we want to be authentic, don't we? We want to, both in our social media and in real life, we want to show the world, you know, what Christ has done, the truth of the gospel, the evidence of the gospel. And I think that there's something about being Christ-like in that. That's what when we look at Jesus, you know, no matter where you find Jesus, what situation, he is always, he's always good, and he's always himself, and he's never swayed by, you know, the public opinion or swayed by the easier route. And I think that's part of God's work of sanctification in us, is making us more one, more whole. And we've just got to be aware that in real life and in social media, we've got to avoid the temptation to edit ourselves. Because that usually comes from a place of wanting to make ourselves look better, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know many people who, you know, edit their social media to make themselves look worse. Yeah, Instagram, the worst of all the photos you take. So that's a few thoughts on social media, and a few caricatures for us to be aware of, thinking about. I guess where we're landing is we want to encourage us as Christians to be deliberate in our social media use, thoughtful. Why am I using this? How am I using this? And I think I guess we want to land as well and to say there are brilliant opportunities for us to be ambassadors for Christ on social media. Jai, you were talking about the Nextdoor app, and I think we were saying, you know, similar to sort of some like community Facebook groups that, you know, people share needs and how might we use those sort of things for as Christians? Well,
yeah, sure. I think I guess being kind of active in a local community is a good thing. You know, when Jesus calls us to love our neighbour, that doesn't necessarily mean the person next door, but it definitely doesn't exclude them. And I think it can be more difficult these days to sort of know your neighbours and to know their needs. I don't know that I've done this particularly well, but on Nextdoor you can kind of offer help, you can ask for help. You can, you know, it's a good place to support local businesses, which is a good thing as well. There's always the danger, I think, that the people who are on there are often the people that want to help, who want to sort of be seen to be helping, more than the sort of real people who are in need of help. So I think it requires us not to put all our eggs in that basket. I think, you know, don't let that stop you sort of looking out for the needs in your neighborhood. But they're definitely a good tool that we can use.
It could just be useful, can't it, to get to know people, on that first level, get to know where the needs and the groups are in our community. I think it's one of the ways as we've moved back to Wath's, especially for Lib, it's been particularly helpful in finding out where baby groups are and, finding out about the local food bank. You know, they're sharing about needs. You think, okay, well, we're going shopping tomorrow. We can, you know, they've shared something, we can drop that in. It's a great tool for communicating. The illustration, it's one, one, what's the word? Ah, no, one arrow in our quiver, in terms of how we're living. I'm like, what's this? This is part of how we can get to know our neighbours and love our neighbours. We want to do that well. But we do it, we're coming from a place of the gospel, so that we're not looking for the affirmation or the distraction. We know that we're loved. We know that we are called. We know that those big questions in Christ, they are fully answered. And so we can therefore go out and be sacrificial and be salt and light. Be in the world, but not of it. Jai, thanks for agreeing to come on board for this podcast. Video log.
Pleasure. A lot of fun.
We'd love to hear your feedback. Not you, Jai. I mean, you can give feedback too, but Jai and I would love to hear your feedback if you're listening to this or watching this. We might even be tempted to come back for a second series if there's demand. I think there's lots more things we could talk about in the area of technology. But let me pray as we finish up. Father, thank you for your ongoing grace and kindness and mercy to us. Father, we pray that as a church at REC, as a group of your people, we would be helping one another to live well in this world. Lord, that we would be in the world and not of it, that we would be salt and light, shining like stars in the sky as we hold on to the word of life. Father, those are familiar Bible verses, but we pray that, that would be the reality for us, not least in this area of technology. Help us to be wise. Help us to be discerning and deliberate. Father, help us to honour you in our use of technology, in our presence on social media. Lord, we pray for one another. And we trust that you are for us in this and that you are working in us and through us for the glory of Christ. And so we ask these things in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ben.
Cheers, Jai. Merry Christmas.